Hello, good day, good afternoon, good night, wherever you are around the world. My name is Mega Ran, and you are listening to my wrestling podcast, which is called Matt Mania. I talk about wrestling, I talk about music, I talk about whatever's on my mind at the current particular time. Right now, it's the first week of January, so happy New Year. Hope your new year was safe. Hope your 2017 will be productive and better than last year. Some people say 2016 was the worst year ever. I say not that, that's for sure. Honestly, I feel like I made a lot of great things happen, and it's a little disheartening and awkward to be that one guy when everybody's saying everything sucks and you're doing okay. It almost feels like you're all working together and everybody gets paid and their paycheck looks bad and then your paycheck looks good. And everybody's like, man, this sucks. And I'm looking at mine like, yeah, this sure does suck. You know, that kind of thing. So, granted, yes, a lot of tragedies and terrible things have happened, but I feel like challenges are what, and our ability to overcome them is what makes us who we are. And I think I was able, with the help of my friends and family, to overcome a lot of challenges this year. So we had quite a few, definitely tragedies, both personal and people I don't know that I just admire or look up to. But you know, we found a way to persevere, man. And so I hope that everybody out there is persevering. It is the first week of January. What that usually means is it's MAGFest time, Music and Gaming Fest, which takes place in Washington, D.C., well, in that area, will be going down this weekend. So if you want to catch me, I'll be around, but also the homies from the NPC Collective. So talk about Richie Branson, Samus, K Murdoch, D&D Sluggers, 1UP, IQ, Doug Funny, Shubzilla, so many more. So Thursday, it all gets started. There is a 6:30 panel that 1UP is doing called The Fine Line in Music. 7 p.m. Thursday at MAGFest, Richie's playing. 8 p.m. main stage, D&D Sluggers is playing. Friday, we got from 5 to 10, an NPC Collective concert at the Mega Manathon stage, which is raising money for charity. They will be streaming it at twitch.tv/halfemptyenergytank. So you can catch it there or in person. From 5 to 10 p.m., I'll be playing as well as everybody else. 9 p.m., there's a panel by Richie Branson about going viral, which is what he knows a whole lot about. And 11:30 p.m., a Fan Bros panel that I will be a part of. Saturday, 12:30, leveling up panel, myself, Samus, DJ Cutman, K Murdoch, and a lot of others, about leveling up your music and attempting to sell your music, which is hard these days. 3 p.m., 1UP Creative Mind Frame has a set. 3 p.m., 6 p.m., Kadesh Flow plays. And from 6:30 p.m. to 12 a.m., there's a Nerdcore Showcase sponsored by my good buddy, Chris Allen, IQ, of Music from the Heart. So check that out. And, yeah, that's where you'll be able to see me. This is my last show for January, for sure. I'm not taking any shows, I promise. Also, I just finished the Year in Gaming song. I'm going to play you that, and then we're going to get into this interview with the big homie, Merce. We had a great time. Not really an interview, more of a conversation. Thank you for showing up, coming through, and talking some wrestling with me. I always like to hear wrestling from a true fan's perspective, as well as a hip-hop artist or a musician or a person who creates content, because they understand the business side of things. So, gave some great insights on a lot of things, so listen up, kiddos, and enjoy. It is Matt Mania, and it is starting now. Ring the bell.
Happy New Year. You know how we do about this time. Mega Rant, K Murdoch. May all your troubles last as long as your New Year's resolutions. And yeah, 2016 was the year to remember. Some new hardware dropped and plenty new contenders. And no one exactly ran away with the crown. So without further ado, yo, let's break this down. Nintendo had a year that was strange to predict. They stopped producing Wii U's and announced the Switch. The biggest releases weren't even games that I would get. Played one level of Mario on the iOS. Sony announced 50 million PS4 sold. Xbox One sales are about half. Oculus and Vive hit the market this year, and the verdict's still out on it. VR is trash. Disney quit software, which was pretty sad, because the Disney Infinite games actually are kind of rad. Mighty No. 9 finally hit the stores. Developers didn't step it up, and neither did the scores. Fans wanted Mega Man, but they didn't listen. But I did the ending credits theme, so all is forgiven. Overall, games were still intense, but I noticed the increase of use of QuickTime events. Simulitis is common, as usual, quite expected. We got new Titanfalls, Dishonored, Deus Exes, Street Fighter 5 dropped, and I had to say congratulations to Capcom for selling half a game. Quite a hustle if you can manage to pull it off, and they did, because I bought it. It's not bad at all. A lot of disappointment, but one game I know was hot. Blizzard's dope shooter, that would be Overwatch. Great graphics and super smooth controls with huge right characters and fun game modes. Great team mechanics you can pick up and go. Bastion's kind of OP and Roadhog's pretty slow. But I made Mercy, so I can support the team. But I get my kills too. Her pistol is pretty mean. But yo, solo plays a nightmare. I'm looking for a group, really. Well, let me get back to this. Thought the game of the year would be No Man's Sky. It promised a whole lot of cool things, but bro, man lied. Took it back in 2 days, please don't ask why. Hello Games made some updates, but man, it's too late. Stardew Valley has some great balance. Salt and Sanctuary, Hyper Light Drift, there were quite a challenge. Final Fantasy 15 shut down the haters, or as I like to call it, Boy Band Simulator. But really, I enjoyed it. I thought the hype was justified. Anybody on the fence, I say it's worth a try. Pokemon Go was a certified hit. Took the world by storm, then Pokemon went. But that short burst will pay dividends soon on the November release of Pokemon Sun and Moon. Mafia 3 had some wonky controls, but great story. You're killing racists, downright gold. Watch Dogs 2, inspiration was iffy. The lead character looked familiar. Richie? I love the fact that the lead cat was black and dual scores, all the things made the soundtrack. Yo, Uncharted 4 was like watching the movie. Star Wars Battlefront looked great, but was booty. Kids downvoted every COD trailer, and everybody swore the new game would be a failure. But lo and behold, Infinite Warfare. Activision made Luke, didn't sweat it or care. I like Battlefield 1, but online was a mess to me. And I can't front, I'm still playing Destiny. And as for me, you know I played a lot of shows like the UK, Scotland, Paris, and Tokyo. Released a mixtape, stayed out of prison, and my podcast got its 10,000th listen. I met Aisha Tyler, I made a couple rounds, made a lot of friends, even dropped a couple pounds. Working on the next album, making sure it's fire. I might be getting older, but not ready to retire. Presently, brands stay ready to rock steadily. And if it isn't bringing you up, you gotta let it be. I pray that your endeavors forever be heavenly. Peace out, kids. Here's to 2017. I'm gone.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? This is Mega Rand. This is another episode of Matt Mania. We'll be talking about the Royal Rumble and a bunch of other things. I got a special guest.
I'm a maniac.
This is Merz. What's going on, bro?
Hey, man, just being a maniac of the mat.
Of course. So before we get started, we did one of these before. We talked a while back, and since then, it was probably like a year ago. A lot of things have happened: brand splits, new people, old people returning. 2016 has been an up and down year, but real quick, what's your opinion of wrestling in 2016? And I'm gonna mainly say the big leagues, I guess the main one that everybody sees is WWE, but of course there's a whole lot of wrestling out there. But in general, what's your thought on WWE's direction, I guess, in the past year?
I still dig it. I wish UFC would catch on to the way they're branding things and not charging us for pay-per-views. Freeze up money for merch and going live events that way. It's also to a point where there's too much.
We got a lot right now. That's true. I think if it's good content, I guess too much of a good thing is not always bad. But
no, I'm not complaining. It's just hard for me to keep up now.
Because
you used to be able to, I guess they made it more quality because now. You used to kind of be able to sit out SmackDown, you know?
This is a good point. I think that's probably exactly why they've done this, the brand split. It's like, oh, you think you can just miss this show and still know what's going on? Nah, completely different storylines on each show.
And then they've added shit like talking smack to catch you up if you can't watch the whole show. which I like.
Yeah, it's really helpful. One thing I noticed as I'm trying to catch up, I try to make my watching time as short as possible and still get everything that's happening. So one thing I always remember is that they're always going to do like a recap at the very beginning of the episode. So SmackDown particularly, I noticed there's always the main things that happened last week, they're going to show them for like the first 5 minutes. So
yeah,
if you didn't see it, you caught up and you can go. Or if you did see it, you can just DVR fast forward a little bit to get on with the rest of the show.
I just feel like they could also maybe cut an hour off Raw. I wouldn't be mad.
You know, I'm going to get into that because there's this show they just put out called Bring It to the Table. Have you heard about this?
Oh, yeah, with Peter Rosenberg. Shout out to him.
Yeah, yeah. Rosenberg is it's Rosenberg, Paul Heyman, and JBL. And they're talking about basically topics that, you know, the internet and the fans talk about. And nobody agreed about making the show shorter. They were like, you guys don't understand how this works. There's millions of dollars at stake for that extra TV hour, blah, blah, blah. That gives a lot of other wrestlers opportunities, yada, yada, yada. And so when they finally broke it down to Rosenberg, he was like, well, I guess I don't want 2 hours. But he's like, you know what? I do. I want 2 hours. And Paul Heyman's like, well, that's just your stupid opinion. You know, so.
But I mean, that's like the thing is like, quality wise, they know it should be 2 hours. But yeah, if there's things behind the scenes that make it work that way, like if I'm on tour and this opener is paying to be on the tour, the show might be a little longer and might drag a little in the beginning. But that guy is helping me pay for these television screens you see, or the pyro, or, you know?
Yep. So it's a small price to pay, you know? Whereas during a show, if there's a, not necessarily a bad opener, but just an opener you didn't necessarily think you're going to see or pay to see, you could, you know, wait that out, that 15, 20, 30 minutes, just like, I guess, with a whole other hour, you can kind of wait that out. It's really,
yeah, that's, you can really, check your phone or something.
Yeah, you can just go on Twitter or handle business, send emails. I don't know. But anyway, so we own it now, so we might as well talk about it. SmackDown versus Raw, what's the better show right now and why?
Without question, it'd have to be Raw. It's just too long. But Raw, you know, and I'm a Cena guy. And I love AJ Styles. I've even become a Dean Ambrose believer, but Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, like, I don't know. It's just, and then I think SmackDown has the better announcer. I think they have too many announcers. it's not an easy win. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But for, I, you know, and it's hard. I Raw wins out, but I'll probably be watching SmackDown more because it's shorter. It's more concise. It's easier to keep up with, and there's not a huge drop off in quality. The women's division, I'm not a fan of on SmackDown as much.
Okay.
And then I miss New Day. It's hard to call it, man.
It's really hard, man. I think
this week Raw had the better show, hands down.
You think so? Oh man. Well, I'm gonna get into both shows this week, and we'll talk about it. Yo, your opinion, as usual, very different than most of the internet. Most people say SmackDown is running away with this, and it's not even close.
The only reason SmackDown won in the ratings is because of Cena, who all those people on the internet hate. And the only reason I like SmackDown is because of people of Cena, who gave the best promo of the month, of the year so far, which is not much to say. But the best promo since the Miz and Daniel Bryan promo. That was probably a shoot.
Yeah, it was great, man. I felt it. Now, I feel like, speaking of that Miz thing, that's kind of when I started tuning into SmackDown. I was like, okay, after the Talking Smack thing with Miz going off, I was like, all right, now this is kind of must-see TV. And I like that they're stretching it out. Miz has become, like, legit the number one heel on the show. Like, there's not a lot of guys that can get, like, legit heat, you know, and he's one of them. And so what do you think of The Miz and what he's shown in the past year or so?
Now, yeah, he might be my favorite wrestler of the year, if we were going to talk about that early. But, yeah, wow. And if it's Miz CTV, not Must CTV. Yeah, right. I love him, man.
Yo, he's great, man. I love it because it's like legit. Like, people really hate this dude. So
yeah, it takes Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho to do the same job on Raw that Miz is doing all by itself.
That's a good point. Well, he's kind of combating with Roman, and you see what, you know, the crowd is still mixed on Roman. So it's like, I think the Roman effect is kind of making it hard to dislike Jericho and Owens. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, he's kind of, it's kind of like AJ Styles and Cena. Like, Cena and Roman are the same wrestler to me. In 5 years, Roman will be doing TV probably. He's the next Cena.
I hope so. I mean, that would be cool to see, but I don't know if he has the charisma of Cena or
guys
in the past like The Rock.
I guess he's getting the same mixed reaction. Kids love him, adults hate him.
Yeah. I think he's wrestling his ass off as of late. I've actually seen a lot of really good matches. I don't know what it is. I think, can we get to the bottom of it? What's the deal? What's the deal with Roman?
I think it's just the push. People didn't like the push. Okay. I think we always liked him. No one wanted him shoved down their throats. But WWE was dealing with so many injuries, they had no choice but to push him early.
Man, my argument to that is, even in the Shield, Roman got like the biggest reaction. They knew the fans wanted him solo. Every time they would tease a breakup, they cheered Roman. They were all about it. And then they just weren't all about it. I feel like the booking, it just like, it went from 0 to 60, like making him like Superman. And people don't like that.
Yeah, no, it became too much of a push. But I think there's still love for him. I've never switched sides on him. But I'm a Cena man, so, you know.
That's crazy. All right, that's cool to see. So Cena coming back. AJ and Cena just had a really great promo back and forth thing on the last SmackDown. AJ says some things like, we don't need you, you're a part-timer, you know, like, your time is up, like, you can't just come in here demanding title shots and blah blah blah. Cena has kind of accepted that, like, look, I'm John Cena, like his new catchphrase is, I'm John Cena, recognize. So he's like, yeah, he mentioned like being Superman. He mentioned, oh, how can I just come in here and ask for a title shot? Cause I'm John Cena. So I think it's interesting that they're going into a little bit of reality here where it's like, it's John. You know that this dude is a draw. Like, whether you love him or hate him.
Yeah. For all you SmackDown homers and fans out there, he's the reason they beat, and the only reason they will ever beat Raw in the ratings is John Cena. Well, Dean Ambrose, The Miz, and fucking AJ Styles are not going to carry that show overall. In no way in hell.
Nah, I think you're right, man. It's obvious. It showed. So what did Raw do this week to combat that? I don't know if you saw, but they've been advertising that they're going to have not only Shawn Michaels coming back to Raw next week,
but Undertaker.
Also Undertaker. They're like, nah, we're not playing this. Like, we need to get back on top.
I mean, I love the Jericho Owens thing. I love it. They're doing it well. The New Day, even Rusev and Mahal, like, taking, like, letting Rusev just cool off a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just loving what they're doing over there. Stephanie's not as exciting as Daniel Bryan. Mick Foley is still the guy. I don't know, man. I go back and forth, but. Just because I love Cena this week, when he said what he said about passion, like, you walk down that aisle, that ramp, because you have to. I walk down that ramp because I want to. It was like, oh, it was like manna from heaven.
Damn, yeah. Like, it was like, okay.
I feel like, you. Even all the Cena haters have to respect that. Like, that guy, he's like, that's why I love Shane McMahon so much, because he doesn't have to throw himself off a steel cage. He wants to.
Like, that's something else, man. And speaking of Cena, we'll talk about it. Paul Heyman said on the Bring It to the Table show with Rosenberg that John Cena is the absolute biggest, best, greatest WWE superstar of all time, no question. And people were like, really? Really? You think that? And he's like, absolutely. I'll tell you why he said it in a minute, but agree or disagree?
Disagree by one person. Like, there's no wrestling without Hogan. Period. He's better than everyone else, except, and he's a better wrestler than Hogan and just as charismatic.
Yeah.
But you can't give it to, and I mean, even just on the same fact, like, John Cena still hasn't had his own cartoon.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, Hulk Hogan's Rockin' Wrestling made it possible to have a Big John Studd cartoon. He made it possible to have action figures. I don't know if John Cena could have done that. John Cena's a way better rapper, though. Like, I don't know. Like, it's just like
putting the chicken before the egg. Hogan might have some bars. He's got half of it down. He can drop the N-word, but you know. But did you? Maybe I should do it there. But did you hear? He said Lil Wayne gave him the pass to drop the N-word. And since then, he's been okay with that.
Wow. I'm on the fence about the N-word, but in the context in which he used it, in the privacy of his own conversation, I was never mad at him.
Yeah.
He's a 60-year-old white person? Like, right. He was taught to use that word. Like, yeah. And then I wouldn't want my daughter dating that N-word either. Like, let's just be honest. Like, if you put your child through private school, do you really want her dating someone with a bunch of tattoos, bad spending habits, and he runs around saying the N-word to your daughter all the time.
Yeah.
Possibly gonna cheat on her. You're a professional athlete. You know how other professional athletes behave.
Yeah.
Come on. Like, it wasn't like Donald Sterling or, you know what I mean? It wasn't like an LA Clippers. I don't know.
Yeah. For me, I feel you. I don't think it was as, you know, as hurtful as some other things that have come out on other people in the past. It's just, you know, I guess it just didn't jibe well with, you know, WWE and their family-friendly policy. So,
yeah. Vince had to, but erasing it from history is kind of ridiculous. You can erase Snuka if you have to. Got it. You can erase some people, but you can't erase Hogan. That's taking... To be out of completely blasphemous, but that's like taking Jesus out of the Bible.
No.
Like, why are we even Christians?
Yeah. I feel like, you. It's like,
and I think Hogan transcends because he's in the Attitude Era and the Old School Era. Like, he's Hogan.
Right. It's the Hogan era. He is
and WCW. You couldn't have either one without him.
Yeah, he's like so key to like every moment, pretty much every era.
Wow. And not only did he say the N-word, but he got called the N-word by Booker T. So can't we just call it even?
Well, yeah, I guess you might be right there. Controversial opinions there on that Mania, but I mean, it's hard to argue throughout all the mess, but all right. So anyway, back to
who's Heyman's excuse for saying,
okay, Heyman said no one has kept John Cena's schedule for 15 years. No one's done it. No one's been able to, and nobody ever could. You know, he's had his injuries. He's come back. He's done Hollywood. He's come back. 15 years of up and down the road being the face of the company makes him the greatest because he felt like nobody else did it as consistently, holding to his schedule, which is, you know, the WWE schedule is insane. So he's probably doing 300 days a year for most of that 15 years. And most guys, he said the top guys didn't do that. They picked and chose eventually and kind of politicked their way out of certain things. And Cena never did that.
So how many days a week?
At least I'm thinking a wrestling schedule is at least 300 days a year. Like when you're on top, because you're doing all types of press. He's like, he does press in every city. He does Good Morning America, then comes Wrestle, then comes going across the country as an ambassador across the world, and nobody else does that.
Yeah, most make-a-wishes in the history of any celebrity.
Yeah, like he literally does everything. So for that reason, and I feel like, I mean, I don't know the math, but I feel like Ric Flair did quite a bit up and down the road in his time. But as far as I can't argue that, like, keeping that schedule for this long or that long, I mean, now he's a bit part-time, but keeping the schedule that long without a whole lot of major injuries, and yeah, I mean, he's literally held wrestling down for the 2000s, you know what I mean? So don't know. It's
no, I definitely, like I said, only reason I give it to Hogan is because he laid the foundation. Without Hogan, there is no Cena.
Right.
But I mean, like, I think I tell people all the time my personal experiences with him one on one, and the, you know, a few times we did get to hang out, he's probably one of the greatest human beings I've met on the planet Earth.
Wow.
Like, period. Like, just a great human being. Like, I like, kind of like people ask me my top five, I never put Tupac in because he's above it.
Yeah. Okay.
John Cena is above wrestling to me. He is like exemplary human. Wow. Like, period. Like, so I like, in wrestling I'll give it to Hogan, but when it comes to just being a human being and great at your craft and just being a good person, John Cena is one of the most dedicated, beautiful people I've ever met.
Wow. All right. Well, it's hard to argue with that, man. Just looking at his track record and from what he said, like, he's the fact that he's come back so many times basically because he wanted to. Like, he didn't have to. This dude could be, I feel like he could be a leading man in Hollywood somewhere. Maybe not on the Rock's level, but somewhere near that.
Yeah, he's not on the Rock's level, but I think he works. And if there was no Mark Wahlberg, maybe on the Rock's level.
Maybe.
But they're always, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like Flair's on another level, because when you get into Flair and Foley, like, you're talking about people who have contributed to the art form. Like, Charlotte Flair, maybe between The Miz and Charlotte, are my favorite wrestlers of the year. And
I can, you know,
Cena may or may not ever contribute that to the business, you know?
Okay.
And Rocky definitely is another person that respects the history, continues to come back. And you know, that there's that people who are like building generations of wrestlers. Where, like, the, you know, the Wyatts and IRS, and, you know, there's I guess there's like career wrestlers, but like I said, as far as celebrity big time shots, like, no doubt Cena beats the Warrior, no doubt Cena over any other, Cena over Taker, Cena over everyone except for Hogan. But
I can't argue. Gosh, that. I can't argue.
You make me feel bad for not putting him at top.
I mean, Hogan is special, and like you said, Hogan might be beyond a top five list. You know what I mean? Like, Hogan is wrestling to so many people. He's their entrance point. You know what I mean? Like, so with all that being said, will Hulk Hogan ever return to a WWE ring? What say ye?
I don't know. What did they say on? I wanted to watch the show just to see what they said.
Oh man, I wanted to see what you thought before I told you. But basically, they said, yeah, they said it'll happen at some point.
Okay, good. Woo! I try not to have an opinion on those things. I just hope.
It's wrestling. Yeah, and I hope so. And like they always say never in wrestling. Never, ever. So anything can happen. Question is, what is the crowd? How does the crowd react? If the music hits, I feel like everybody just goes crazy and goes back to normal, you know?
Yeah, I don't think we were mad at them. I think if WWE would have kept him, it would have been like the NFL. You know, they would have been in trouble.
Yeah.
For not firing him. I think they felt like they had to. They wanted to.
Yeah, I feel like they had to as well.
Yeah, the media would have torn WWE up, and it wasn't a time. They have so much invested in the WWE. It's kind of like Empire. I watch Empire. I don't know if you guys watch Empire.
I watch Empire.
But it's like when their streaming service launched, like, they couldn't afford to have too much bullshit going on. And WWE is a similar thing. They're launching this, you know, this new platform, the WWE Network. They couldn't afford to have Hogan. They couldn't afford to be mired in, even as much as they owe Hogan, they couldn't fight that battle right then.
Yeah.
They had to get our $9.99.
Yeah. I feel like now that they're, what, well over a million subscribers, things are rolling well. Like, business must be good with them splitting up brands, adding a cruiserweight show, adding a after talk show for everything. Like, there's a new show every week, it seems, at this point. So business must be good, unless they're just throwing a bunch of things at the wall to see what sticks. So since business is good, I feel like you let it ride out for a little bit, and then you know, you surprise everybody with a Hogan appearance one day. One day. I wouldn't be mad at it.
WrestleMania 40.
Okay.
Right. Gray hair Hogan, no one can be mad at gray haired Hogan.
Right. If he's like old to the point where he can barely walk down the aisle, like no one could be mad at that. No one could boo. No one could be angry.
Yeah. And if it comes down to me riding with Hogan or the NAACP, I'm with Hogan.
All right.
Let that be known now.
Now that that's out there. All right. Yeah. On that note.
Wrestling lives matter.
Oh, man. Hulkamaniacs around the world unite.
Yeah. Hulkamania matters. I need that shirt.
Yo, they need to put that on the shirt. Hulkamania matters. Oh, my
I'll
God.
I'll wear that to Mania if I go this year.
Yo. Okay. All right. Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with some Royal Rumble talk, and we're going to finish up the show. This is Merz. This is Mega Ran. This is Matt Mania.
Hey, party people. It's Kate Murdoch here, and I want to talk to you about something real fresh, real new that myself and Mega Ran are doing now, and it involves you, the fans. Myself and Mega Ran just launched a Patreon, a monthly way for you all to subscribe to us and what we do. For as little as $1 a month, you'll get free exclusive downloads, a guaranteed song a month, and if you pledge at the $10 level, you'll get a free project a month, whether it be something we do together, whether it's something solo, a side project that I engineer or produce, it's guaranteed exclusive for you Patreon supporters. So, if you really like what we do, then this is the time to get down and join us. We are trying to bring back that Nintendo Fun Club vibe because this is essentially a fan club for the real fans. So check it out, patreon.com/bitsandrhymes. That's patreon.com/bitsandrhymes. And now back to your regularly scheduled program.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? This is Mega Ran. I'm back. It's Matt Mania. We're in January somewhere. It's 2017. January means Royal Rumble. So, we got to talk about it. My special guest, Merz, in the building. Well, the virtual building. We in the on the phone line, which is in a building somewhere. So
exactly. Hello.
So, here we go. Royal Rumble's happening. Raw, I thought, did a really good job this week talking about and hyping up the Royal Rumble. We had Goldberg come back. Goldberg's deal is he's come back in order to get a world title shot at WrestleMania. Also, I feel like him and Brock Lesnar will have to cross paths in that Royal Rumble. They did something really cool. They had Roman go toe-to-toe with Goldberg at the end of Raw. And then they both got together to double spear.
Double spear. Oh, yeah, my heart sore.
I marked out. I did. I can't front. I did. So they put the double spear down on Big Braun Strowman. Best thing I like about the Royal Rumble is seeing top guys go at it with lower card guys. Like, I love that. So that's why I always enjoy the Royal Rumble. So do you want to see any surprises? Any, like, swerves? Any NXT guys coming up? Anything out of the ordinary? And who's your pick? Like, who do you want to go to WrestleMania?
Oh my gosh, who do I pick? I mean, but who's going? Like, what do you, is it going to be one person from each brand? That's what I don't get.
Yeah, they haven't quite said it, but on SmackDown, I think it was who was it? Oh, Baron Corbin, who said, "Oh, I'm going to be in the Royal Rumble, and I'm taking your title at WrestleMania." So I think whoever wins is going to challenge for their brand's belt or something like that.
Well, I think somebody from SmackDown is going to win because they need the help. Sorry, SmackDown fans.
Yeah. I like the old way where they would have the person win, then choose which belt he wanted to go after. I thought that was cool. It doesn't seem like they're going to do that. They're keeping the belts and keeping the characters on each show. Sidebar, I actually like the way SmackDown is pushing Baron Corbin. I feel like in the beginning there was a little bit of a rough start. We used to call, me and my homies called him Boring Corbin, and it took a long time to kind of get going, get over. Like, I remember he was one of the oldest, like, longest running guys in NXT, and it took him a long time to come up. And finally, when they did, you know, they were really dedicated to him. Ironically, I think his first match was against Dolph, and then his match last night was against Dolph. So Dolph has a good way of putting guys over and making you believe it. I mean, he sells like no other.
Baron is doing better.
He is. He's doing better.
Warren Corbin.
Warren Corbin. So between him and like Braun Strowman, I feel like they got their tough kind of bad on the mic, but badass guy on both shows who's just like kind of wrecking shop. So both of them should have a decent run in the Rumble. But if
yeah, you know what? I take that back. Now we talk about it. I'm going Balor. Surprise guest wins.
Okay, Balor wins, then gets KO at WrestleMania. You think?
Yeah, or whoever's champion,
or Roman, or whoever.
Yeah, Finn Balor gets his title back at Mania.
Ah, okay. I've seen a lot of things going around the internet. Just want to get your thoughts on it. Goldberg winning the Royal Rumble. Goldberg challenging, of course, for the Raw title, and Roman Reigns beating Kevin Owens with Jericho up above the ring. And then we get Goldberg versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, Battle of the Spears. What do you think about that?
That sounds like something they would push on us, but that would probably, they know better because of, who was it? The first debacle with that was Brock Goldberg.
Yeah.
Like, Roman's not a good enough wrestler to carry Goldberg. Roman is a way better wrestler than Goldberg. Roman may be even getting better than John in the ring, maybe. But he's not good enough to carry Goldberg to make a decent match. And if Goldberg runs through Roman, actually, now that we walked through it, Goldberg running through Roman would be great. The crowd would love it.
Oh, they would go nuts. They would love that. They would. That's the only thing, is that people want to see Roman lose so bad. So it's like an event like that would be perfect. You know, you get Goldberg a short match and he squashes him. Now,
but Goldberg is almost at gray-haired Hogan point to me.
yeah, almost. I think, and I've heard all types of rumors and innuendo about why the match with Brock went so short. I don't know if maybe one of them was hurt, or they just decided to just swerve everybody. Just like, well, screw y'all. We're going to make it a minute long.
Is there any official word on that?
There's no official word. Like, nobody really knows why the match was so short. I guess they're leading us to think, well, that's just the way they booked it. I think they wanted a short match to kind of not poke fun at UFC, but just to kind of roll a little bit adjacent to that. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of their title matches have been really short. So they're just like, hey, let's give them a big match, but give them a really short one that'll get you excited, you know? I don't know. I really don't know. Or maybe it was a punishment for Brock for testing dirty. I don't know. I have no idea.
That's the great thing about it, is it's not predictable. We could, you know, whatever we come up with, they'll probably come up with something even better.
Right.
I haven't been disappointed. I think Hunter is doing a great job. Whoever's back there is doing a great job these days. I'm pleased with I'm glad that each brand has its own tag team titles. Each brand has its own women's title. I'm liking the push on Nia Jax, and I like Nia Jax and Bayley. Mm-hmm. I think that just the women's division is lacking over at SmackDown right now. I think Alexa Bliss is very good. I like the La Luchadora thing they're adding. That's dope to me.
Yeah, I like that. I kind of disagree. I think I like SmackDown's women's division a little better, only because I felt like for the longest time the Raw women's division was just a two-woman division, you know? It was just Sasha and Charlotte, like, most of the year. Bayley kind of floundered a little bit. Not like she wasn't showing up, but she wasn't in any big matches probably the entire year. Nia Jax just kind of squashed people. Who else? Alicia Fox. Like, there was nobody else. So it was a two, sometimes three-woman division. Whereas SmackDown, you know, they got Natty, they got Nikki Bella, they got, you know, you got so many other ones. I mean, I love Alexa. Her coming up was cool for a while. They had Eva Marie, Carmella. Like, they're giving a lot of women a chance to get some TV.
But what I see in your, if I could look into your taste, these are the better looking women. They're not the better wrestling women over there.
I agree.
Okay. Bayley, Sasha, yeah. Charlotte, and Nia by far are the best female wrestlers in either league, I think.
Okay, I can agree with that. But I feel like I like SmackDown giving more people an opportunity, I guess is what I'm thinking.
Okay.
Not necessarily. Okay. I mean, if you only got three, because I don't think Nia's quite there yet. But you got three, three great women wrestlers and all they do is fight all year, then it's like, wow, where's the story progression, you know? So they waited till literally the end of the year to end the Sasha Charlotte thing. Like, it was literally the entire year. So Bayley didn't have a moment in that at all. I guess mainly so that they could kind of push Bayley for this year and see what happens with that. So now it's still a four-woman race, you know, because Nia's starting with Sasha. So it's still a four-woman race when you got five, six women getting a chance on SmackDown. And maybe it is because of the lack of maybe ability or depth over there. They're like, well, we don't have any strong women, so let's just kind of keep working these different combinations and hopefully somebody will rise. I disagree with you on better looking. I mean, I don't know. I think, I don't know. That's not why I made my pick. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that, I don't know, man. I feel what you're saying. Is it better to have more I don't know. Just Nikki and Natty are just of that era where I'm like it's still Sable to me. I don't know.
Yeah, it feels kind of old. Like, guys, let's move along, you know.
Yeah, like I like Carmella. I like the whole fucking Carmel's worst or what is it called? I forgot what they called it. Carmel's worth or whatever.
Yeah. Is that what it's gonna be? Carmel's worth.
I don't know. But I love it.
I like that. Okay, that leads me to my next point. I'm glad you brought up Ellsworth. Favorite underdog of 2016. We got a few here. I would say Heath Slater, his story.
Ooh.
James Ellsworth, or.
Ooh.
Or TJ Perkins.
No way, TJ Perkins. He comes off too arrogant to be an underdog.
Yeah.
I love him.
Yeah. He's fun. And yeah, he's probably a little more confident than the average underdog.
I guess Heath, because Heath is a better worker. James Ellsworth is like hilarious, but
like, but yeah, like he's just a joke. But it's great. It works.
And he had Rhino. It was just such an unlikely team. Like, it was great. It was, yeah.
That was great, man. For him, like, looking for a job and popping up on both shows and Brock Lesnar destroying him and telling him he don't give a shit about his kids. Like, oh, man, it was just such great stuff for him to rise above all that and become tag team champs with Rhino, of all people. Like, great story, man. It almost reminded me, I guess, the previous year. I guess you compare it to, like, maybe Zack Ryder. You know, an underdog all the time, who then gets his big win at WrestleMania. So, and then had a bad break. I think he just got hurt. So, but I'm gonna say Slater because of his ability. Definitely, Ellsworth was great entertainment and still is. They talked about that a little bit on that show, and I think Rosenberg asked JBL, like, don't you think, you know, Ellsworth's spot could have been for someone else, like an NXT guy or a guy in the back who's not getting used? Don't you think maybe that would have been better used with someone else? And he said, man, this is business, and in business you follow the money. Ellsworth is ratings, believe it or not. And he's money. And, like, people love this dude, you know, they're buying his t-shirt now. Like, he's money. So until someone can, you know, outdraw him or outshine him, then we're gonna go with
it. And I feel like it's when white people or even some black, when Americans complain about Mexicans taking their job, I'm like, motherfucker, you weren't gonna clean that toilet anyway.
True.
Like, no one in the back was gonna come be a fucking goofball for the people.
Yeah,
like, Bo Dallas tried the fucking, what were they called when Heath Slater was part of that group? Whatever the fuck.
The 3MB or something?
The Social Outcast.
The Outcast, yeah.
Yeah, they tried being goofy, but they're all too talented to be goofballs. You right. know?
Maybe no one. I think you're right. Nobody else would have took
like,
that.
We need a doink. Like, this is the new doink.
Yeah.
Like, he's not taking a job from anyone. He's filling a void that desperately has been needed to be filled for a decade plus.
Yeah, you need a joke character almost, you know. So, and who else would take that kind of ridicule? I mean, constantly from not just from the other wrestlers, but the commentary, it's just constant. You know what I mean? Like, he's just a joke. So the
every rodeo
doink,
needs a clown.
Yeah, new doink.
And there hasn't been a rodeo clown in WWE in years. I mean, George the Animal Steel was kind of it. I don't know who started that lane, but Doink was one of those.
Would you say what's the little dude? Hornswoggle.
Hornswoggle. Oh shit, I forgot about him. What was the Tanaki?
The Funaki and Taka for a while. They were the comedy. Tajiri for a while was the comedy with him and William Regal doing their thing.
I guess it's like fucking what you call it? The Golden Truth.
Yeah.
You need that. And SmackDown needs a Golden Truth. And the Golden Truth shirt is amazing. And the Ellsworth shirt is amazing. I own a Golden Truth shirt.
Yo, the shirt is dope.
I bought it immediately. I bought it and I forgot all about Step Brothers. And then it just became even more funny.
It's
the shirt.
Really dope.
The shirt's a double entendre. It's amazing.
Oh, man. All right. So I think that's basically it. One last thing that happened on SmackDown.
Oh, can I take out Heath and put in R-Truth for, to me,
for underdog of the year?
Yeah, he was dead.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was.
Him and Goldust were dead.
You're right. Are they not dead anymore? Did I miss something? Are they...
You don't find them entertaining now?
Yo,
they're like zombies.
They get like 5 minutes of TV time. They don't win. Like, what?
They're the Walking Dead.
Are they
not dead of the WWE?
They're no threat to a tag team championship. No. Like, I don't know.
But
I mean,
if they win it, it'll be... They have better t-shirts than... But I have kids. I need this job. I have kids. It's great.
Yeah,
like I'm just gonna, I'm gonna be like the WWE. I'm gonna split it. I'm gonna split it into SmackDown and
okay,
and
okay, that's fair.
But to your credit, you're right. They're not back from the dead. They're just,
I mean,
walking.
Like people talk about what Breezango. Like they're entertaining, you know, and they're both doing well together. But are they? Are they alive? Like they have a job and they do make some TV every week.
They're tag swaggle. There's the Hornswoggle part. There's no Hornswoggle in Raw yet. Who's the Hornswoggle of Raw? The tag swoggle is Breezango in SmackDown. The Hornswoggle is Ellsworth.
Yeah.
The tag swoggle of Raw is Golden Truth. Who's the Hornswoggle of Raw? They need a Hornswoggle.
Of Raw, yeah. I guess they need a joke character.
And that whole 3 hours, that's maybe like I need to laugh a little bit to take away the pain of having to watch it all.
It might be kind of Titus. I don't know. Titus has been on
a
little bit of a joke thing lately.
Yes.
I don't know. It might
Yeah, because he lost too. He got his ass kicked by Strowman.
Yeah.
Then the following week he got his ass kicked by Xavier.
Yeah.
And he twerked.
He did twerk. So
he just needs a great t-shirt.
I feel like it's the time for a cool Titus brand t-shirt, and I'd buy it. If it's good, I'll buy it.
Yeah, Titus needs to go full Hornswoggle.
I think so. It might be time for him to just get completely silly and just take it all off and let's just wild out.
Yeah, have fun, because he has kids. His kids are at the age where they're silly, like 10, 8, you know, the twins.
Mm-hmm.
And we know he's a great guy. Everybody loves him. Goof it up, man.
Yeah, I had to goof it up. Speaking of goofing it up, the New Day recently lost, but they did set the record. Thoughts on what the New Day's next direction is? What do you want them to do next? What's up with that?
I want Kofi Kingston to win the Royal fucking Rumble. He's been the greatest entrant in the Rumble. Most spectacular performances. The walking on his hands. He's amazing.
Yeah.
He's made that match so many years for me.
He lives
and he's never won.
And never
I know won. It doesn't make sense for the storyline, but I need him to win a Royal Rumble in his lifetime.
He steals the show every time. Like, you can count on it.
Like, you can't continuously fucking shun this man. Give him a shot. Let him blow it. But I'd pay to see Kingston. A screw job where Kingston, Kofi Kingston wins the fucking WrestleMania.
Hell, it would be great, man. I would love it. That's
like,
funny.
Does he need to get back implants? Is that what Vince is waiting on?
Maybe. I don't know. That would, man, that would be something. Because, yeah, he makes a moment every single time.
Man.
So I was talking to some buddies, and we all kind of agreed. I think New Day's new direction I would like to see is for them to wrestle solo, not break apart, still be homies, but, like, just all make a dent in this, in the singles department, but still be,
yeah, buddies. full on DX.
Yeah, like, going for the US title, going for the world title, going, you know, like, just getting dope singles opportunities, but still being a unit, I think would be cool for them.
I think KO and Big E could put on a show for the heavyweight or for the Universal.
Yeah.
I think Kofi can hold the US, and I think Xavier can go for cruiserweight. I think he's small enough.
Yeah, I think so.
If they made a solid run for all three titles.
Man, that would be dope.
But that's what they mentioned on the show. I'm glad they're going to start focusing on their solo career.
Yeah. I'm glad, too. I want to see that. I'm happy to have been seeing, you know, a lot more Xavier in the ring. And he's been doing his thing. So that's
great. And I feel like he can fucking... Yeah, I think they can do some damage. Like you said, put a dent in it. Get some more shirts out there.
Yeah.
And just go full DX. Like, they should be the new NWR, the new DX.
Yeah, just, like, making fun of people, clowning everybody, and, you know, and winning some matches. I think that would be
I kind of thought that they were going to let... I wasn't mad when they... I thought they were going to let Titus in for a sec.
I thought for a sec, too. Like, maybe? Nah.
I was like, I'm not going to be mad at this if he just shuts up and plays the big guy role.
Yeah. It wouldn't be a bad idea.
I mean, it wouldn't be a bad idea to let a Latino or a female or a white person into the New Day as well.
Right. I wouldn't be mad at that at all.
But, like, you know, but I guess they have to be funny. I guess they're goofy DX.
Like, yeah, they got to. Yeah,
DX was goofy, but they were to the left of goofy.
Goofy and vulgar. So I guess, I don't know. But, yeah, I feel like.
Do you know anybody in Raw that would be a good addition to the New Day?
You know, it's funny. I thought back in the day that Sasha might have been a cool, but she's a little too cool.
Yeah.
Or if before all the switching, you know, happened, I was thinking Naomi, you know, or something like that. Because I've seen, you know, she's got a lot of personality. Haven't seen really the silly side. Or, and they actually teased it and got me really excited, Bayley.
Bayley, yeah.
Boom. Bayley in the New Day. Now that
I feel like if somebody wrote the right lines for Bayley, she could be there.
Yeah, that would be perfect. So Bayley's getting a title shot at Royal Rumble. Do you think she has what it takes? Does she go over?
Oh yeah, she's the fucking shit.
Is she winning?
I love Charlotte.
Charlotte's undefeated at pay per view. Completely undefeated forever at pay per view in singles matches.
Yeah, I'm not mad either way. Like. You know, we're both going to be in San Antonio, hopefully, for this, for PAC South. And, like, that's the reason I'm spending my $350 on a fucking floor seat. Is because, not just because of Charlotte, but Charlotte's one of the, Cena, Charlotte, I don't care who wins. Like, even AJ, like, I'm a Cena fan for life, but due to my upbringing and gang sensitivities, I can't wear Cena shirts anymore because it's just an obvious blood symbol.
Yeah.
I wasn't raised that way. No offense to anyone.
Yeah.
So I'll be there in my blue AJ Styles shirt, mm-hmm. and my blue Charlotte shirt, but I'll have a Bayley shirt. Like, I love it all. So I wouldn't be mad if she doesn't walk away. But does she have what it takes? Fuck yeah.
Yeah. I agree. I think so.
I think Sasha screw job would be great for me.
That would be dope. That would be dope. I think
Sasha Swerve, like, she came down and fucked Bayley out of her chance. I'd be stoked.
I'm still ready for Sasha to go heel, like, all the way bad guy. Like, I feel like she's a boss. Like, a boss has to be bad, right?
That,
I don't know any good bosses. I've never had a good boss in my life. who'd be like, oh, it's cool, take a day off, it's fine. Never.
Yeah, bosses are bad people. That's true.
Bosses are mean. Like, they gotta be ruthless.
Sasha the supervisor Banks.
Right. Like, it's okay, we just won't tell the boss.
No. Yeah, exactly.
Like,
she is the boss.
She's the boss. Like, I need her to be evil, angry, like NXT style. Like, I would love, like, she's a great heel. But she's so popular, so it's like, who knows? But I would love to see it, like, straight evil Sasha for a little while.
There's no way to make Nia good, because then she had to do the gentle giant thing, which would be horrible. Mm-hmm. And if Sasha went heel, like, there'd be three heels. There'd be Charlotte, Sasha, and Nia.
Oh, yeah. I guess we would need, they'd have to bring somebody else in before that could work
out. I think I don't know what they're gonna do with Shinsuke. I haven't been watching NXT.
I haven't been watching either. But there's a lot of rumors swirling around that either Shinsuke or Joe might pop up at the Rumble. I would be really excited about that. So last thing, actually there's two last things. One is Dolph Ziggler. Dolph made a bit of a turn on
I didn't get the fuel for that. Has he been on this? I don't like anybody.
He's just been a loser forever. So I think, I don't know. He's just like, they're the announcers are trying to play it up like he's just snapped. He's just tired of taking these losses and coming so close. So he kicked
Kalisto in the face?
Kick Kalisto in the face. Because Kalisto came.
You're a fucking asshole if you kick Kalisto.
Like the little guy. Like who comes to help you against the big guy.
Yeah, and that's like, that's like kicking Toadstool in the face. You're fighting the Mario Brothers and you run over and kick Toadstool in the face.
Kick him in the face. But like, so why? I was ready for a heel Dolph. I feel like this story is the perfect thing to do it. It's like, oh, he keeps losing. So now he's just like, I don't need anybody. And so now he'll probably come out next week. I don't need the fans either. I don't need you guys. But, you know, that kind of thing. So maybe it'll help him. But, like, I want him to be, like, young HBK. Like, that's what I want from Dolph, though. I want him to take the gimmick and just run with it. Like, he's got the super kick. He's got so many other things from other people. He's doing the Famouser and everything else. I want him to go full HBK.
Go full HBK. I liked his hoodie the other night, too, with the skull on the back. I wanted that was my next merch purchase.
That's kind of fly. I didn't know they sold that, but that's dope.
They don't sell it. I didn't know what it was. Because he usually wears his own hoodies anyway.
Yeah, he does.
So I was like, oh, is this his new look?
Oh, could be.
I don't need anybody. Skull.
Right. I don't need. Don't trust anybody. Up, Stone Cold. DTA.
Up, done. DTA, done.
There it is. He's going to do the stunner next week, and it's going to be set.
Yeah. But he's a great worker, man.
Yeah, he is. He's one of my favorite workers. I would love to see him, you know, winning some matches, but, you know, he's such a good worker, man. That dude sells like nobody's business. He looks like he gets shot when he takes Corbin's move. It looks like this dude took a gunshot. Like, he's good at that. So, last thing. I guess this will be the last thing. Yeah. So, we're talking about Hall of Fame, which is coming up soon. They haven't mentioned really anybody that's going to be in there. I want to mention two names. They're old school names, so if you're a fan in like the 90s, you'll know who they are. I want to mention two names that I've been hearing swirling around: Lex Luger and Big Van Vader. Are they Hall?
They're not in there already.
Nah.
Okay. Yeah. Fuck yeah. Didn't Vader beat up a talk show host?
Yeah, among other things. Vader's a bad dude. And he just recently announced that because of like some heart problems, he may only have like a year or two to live. Like things are kind of bad for him. But he's getting in shape. He's getting with DDP, doing DDP yoga. So
I got to get back on my DDP yoga. I lost my DVD.
Yo, that stuff is legit. I did a couple of lessons, but I don't have to.
Hey, this motherfucker Van Vader was born in Linwood. I'm fucking with him.
Really?
Linwood, California. Wow. I lived there for quite some time.
All right.
And
okay.
Then his family moved to Compton.
What? Vader lived in Compton? Yo.
Yes. He was raised with his sister in a rough area of Los Angeles known as South Central.
What?
He went to Bell High School.
What?
Yo, I'm didn't fucking know that. With Vader. Let him in.
Let him in. We gotta let him in now. Instantly, I think, because I've always been partial to the big dudes for whatever reason. And Big dudes that can move, especially. That was always me, like on the football field. They'd be like, oh, you're a big dude, but you can move though. So when I see that, when I see that in wrestling, the guys like Bam Bam Bigelow,
yes,
guys like even Yokozuna, Van Vader, I always like, I instantly take to those guys. So I'm always gonna ride for the big dudes. So Vader, just for being able to do moonsaults at 300-400 pounds, like so much great memories. Like most of his best stuff probably wasn't in WWE or F. I think it was, you know, NWA, WCW, and Japan stuff. But I think he's a Hall of Famer. Gotta let him in.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, man, if we could, can we get, can we put Big E in his mask?
Big E with the Vader mask?
Because that's a great mask. Wow. I think it needs to come back.
That would be dope. See, but if it was still New Day, it would have to be like pink or something.
Yeah, maybe not. Or maybe that's how it comes back. It comes back
in pink,
like, you know, as a face mask.
Wow.
No pun intended. Face mask. It's
face mask. Maybe. Yeah, because Vader was the one dude I was legit scared of. Like, he used to come out in that giant helmet and like the big shoulder pad thing, and like, oh man, it was crazy scary. Like, that dude was, yeah, he was a bad dude. And they say like he was one of those dudes that took liberties in the ring. Like, he would let you have it. And be like,
oh, really?
So, yeah, I feel like there's a lot of politics that might keep him out. A lot of dudes are like, man, he was stiff on purpose. He didn't listen. He didn't do this. He didn't do that. And his relationship with WWE wasn't that great. But I don't know. I think as far as his merit and his ability, he needs to go in.
DDP Yoga will get you into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, apparently that's the path, man. DDP Yoga will get you in.
What would hold the narcissist back from being in?
I don't know, man. Well, the Elizabeth thing. I don't know if you heard.
What happened with him and Liz?
Elizabeth basically died in his care. Like, they were like binging out on drugs together, and she died, and he was like scared to call the cops and that kind of thing.
Yeah, he probably shouldn't get in. I don't know.
Yeah, this is a tough story. He wrote a book. I've been reading it. It's really good. It's called like Wrestling with the Devil. Like, he changed his life, got saved and stuff. And
okay.
But yeah, I mean, that'll do it though. That'll send you to Jesus. But yeah, I don't know, man. You know, they like to stay away from controversy. So I don't know. Abilities wise, I never was a big Luger fan. I didn't really think he could wrestle. He just looked great. But
Come on, dude. The Rack?
I was not a Luger fan. Like, he's just a tough dude. Like, he's just big, strong. But, like,
you know what?
I don't know.
He was a fake ass Paul Orndorff. I'll give you that.
Right.
He's a fake ass Paul Orndorff.
Was
wonderful
before he was Luger. And he didn't get, you know, all the world titles and coming out of blimps and whatever, all the cool stuff they did, riding around the bus, the Lex Express, and all that cool stuff. But
who didn't get that? Mr. Wonderful?
Mr. Wonderful didn't get all that? Nah.
No, he
just
sure
got
didn't.
One match with Hogan, got squashed, and that was it.
That's about it.
But I don't know, man. Maybe I need to go back and watch some Luger stuff. Honestly, I was a Sting guy, so like I always felt like Luger was like, nah, he's not as good.
But
you know,
when you look back, that's the thing though, is being a, why were you a Sting guy? Is because like your adversary had to be great. Like, Jay-Z and Nas's feud was great because Nas is Nas.
Yeah.
If Nas was Meek Mill, it wouldn't be as great, you know?
Good point.
No disrespect to Meek, but, you know, like...
Yeah, I feel you.
There wasn't, like, no one saying that Meek got Drake. Like, you gotta... You know, you're only as good as the person you... Like, Tupac and Biggie, unfortunately, is Tupac and Biggie because they're both really good.
That's a good point. All right.
Like, Sting and Luger was good because... You know, and also we got to admit, like, Sting is a step above Cena, but Sting and he's probably my personal favorite wrestler of all time. Mm. Not an argument. Hogan without argument, but Sting is like my personal. I can't really dispute it versus Flair or anything like that. It's just who I love to watch.
Okay.
But like, technically Flair shits on him, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's people who wrestle circles around Sting. So Luger and Sting having a great feud, Luger had to have some skill. But I will, too, go back and watch, because I haven't watched Luger matches since I was a kid.
Me neither, man. All I remember, that's so funny, is like I think he was like maybe mid-90s, and I was out of it for a quick sec around that time. But I was still by the wrestling video games. And I remember buying a game, Super WrestleMania or something like that. And I think Lex Luger was on it. And I was like, oh, he's in WWF now? I didn't even know that. Like, so
yeah.
I missed his whole like run for the most part in WWF. I just remember Lex Express. He was do these forearms and, of course, the torture rack. I remember that.
The torture rack.
I mean, it's a great move. Like, nobody even really does that anymore. Like, that was his thing.
Yeah, the FU was like an inverted torture rack, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So, I think that's it, really. All right, we've talked long enough. But I want to thank you once again for hanging out and chatting wrestling with me. And Merce, you can't, as a musician, you can't leave without giving me a song. This song can't be one of your own songs. It has to be a song that you would come out to the ring to. Like, they're like, yo, Merce, you're doing the run-in during the Roman Reigns Goldberg main event. What music is going to hit when you run out with the chair?
Man. Wow. Let's see. Now you gave me a scenario. I had a song picked out just as my
interview. Okay, now, yeah. I shouldn't have made it that, because they wouldn't play your music then. They would. You just run out. But I don't know. If you are
my
special guest referee.
I would use Shiny from the Moana soundtrack.
Ah, okay. All right, that's a good one.
I don't even know the guy's name from Flight of the Conchords. Jake Clements or...
Or the other guy. No.
Yeah, it's the J guy.
Okay. All right.
But it's on the Moana soundtrack. I know no one's listening to that but me.
Yo, big shout out to Illmind, who has a credit on that. He did a couple tracks on there.
Oh, he did?
He did, yeah. So there's a hip-hop connection.
Jermaine Clements. Shiny. From the Moana soundtrack.
All right, I'm going to play a little bit of that just so I don't get sued. I won't play the whole thing. I definitely am. I'm going to play it. All right. Also, you got a new joint out right now, a song, Colossus.
Yeah.
Joyce of Banger. I'm going to just say, from a quick perspective, I'll be like, your last single was Rick Grimes is Dead, right?
Right.
Next one, Colossus. All right. Both of these are comic book-ish references in the title. So, I already know this, but we can let the people know. What's your relationship with comic books?
I am a huge comic book fan. Huge, huge, huge. I am obscenely behind right now, but I haven't missed a Comic-Con since 06, 05.
Nice.
I don't think. And I was going to the ones they used to have at the Shrine Auditorium when I was a kid.
Nice.
Huge comic book.
What are you reading right now? Anything?
The newest thing I'm reading is Paper Girls, which is amazing, by Brian K. Vaughan, who's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Everything he touches is gold.
Yeah.
Man. Vaughan is the man. I'm still reading Saga, catching up. Rat Queens, I dig a lot.
Yeah.
And what was the last thing I picked up, actually? Actually, when I was in Europe, I just needed something to read, and I grabbed the Captain America Hell Hydra story. I just kind of wanted to see how that would make sense, that he would be Hydra. And of course, it doesn't make sense. But so that book's kind of whack. But anyway,
that's I didn't try. Yeah, I fell off. I'm just trying to figure out how to sign up for Marvel Unlimited right now to catch up.
Oh, Lord.
But I'm gonna skip that one, thanks to you.
Yeah, you can skip it. It's not great. But
I'm reading Neil Gaiman's American Gods right now, as far as non-comic book people.
Nice. Gaiman has great stuff. All right. Well, we're gonna go into some Moana soundtrack, and we're gonna get out of here.
Name Clement.
Keep it shiny. What's the game?
Yeah. My new album is Captain California. All the comic book stuff was leading up to that as the title of the album.
Yeah. Okay. Any idea of a date for that?
Mid March.
Yeah.
Hopefully March 17th, Captain California in stores.
All right. Well, be ready for that. I'm Mega Rand. This is Merce, Captain California. We hanging out. We talked wrestling and you listened. So thank you for that. Please continue to tell your friends and share and all that good stuff. And as always, keep your shoulders off the mat. I'm out.
Yeesh.
Peace.
Well, Tamator hasn't always been this glam. I was a drab little crab once. Now I know I can be happy as a clam, because I'm beautiful, baby. Did your granny say, listen to your heart, be who you are on the inside? I need 3 words to tear her argument apart. Your granny lied. I'd rather be shiny, like a treasure from a sunken pirate wreck. Scrub the deck and make it look shiny. I will sparkle like a wealthy woman's neck. Just a sec, don't you know? Fish are dumb, dumb, dumb. They chase anything that glitters. Beginners. Oh, and here they come, come, come to the brightest thing that glitters. Fish dinners. I just love free food. And you look like seafood. Always having trouble with his look. You little semi-dummy mini-god. Ouch, what a terrible performance. Get the hook. Get it? You don't swing it like you used to, man. Yet I have to give you credit for my start. And your tattoos on the outside. For just like you, I made myself a work of art. I'll never hide. I can't, I'm too shiny. Watch me dazzle like a diamond in the rough. Struck my stuff is so